I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events and the lesser told stories, ones you might not even know happened. Find History This Week on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, who's doing which one, by the way? I feel like we're really bad at this.
Pray for us. Hello, and welcome to another edition of Off Bites. Hi, Chris.
Hey, Lauren. On these episodes, we do a quick rundown of strange stories that we found but haven't had time to research in depth.
If you think any of them are worth diving into more, let us know. We'll do a full episode. We'll tell you how to contact us in just a minute. But first, we have some housekeeping. Chris and I promised each other on a previous Off Bites episode that we would try some new things.
And no, those new things are not drugs. My task was to take a Hogwarts house quiz, which I did yesterday after Lauren reminded me. Lauren, you tried some non-alcoholic cocktails, right?
Yes, I did.
How were they?
You know, they were good. It was interesting. So I bought this non-alcoholic beverage. It's called Free AF Apero Spritz, and it's like a non-alcoholic version of an Aperol Spritz. And I got it because we covered this story about Target carding people for non-alcoholic drinks that are kind of marketed to be cocktail replacements. And they did card me. I was kind of surprised. And the taste... Okay, so it tasted mostly like orange Jell-O, like the little cups of orange Jell-O, but it did have like a kind of a bite to it. There's something in it called Afterglow trademark, which is supposed to mimic like the bite of liquor, and it kind of had like a spiciness to it. So it tasted weird, but also kind of good. I kept drinking it almost like it was a bag of potato chips. Like it kind of like got addictive after a minute. So yeah, I don't know if I would buy it as a replacement for like having a cocktail if I really wanted one, because I don't really drink cocktails that much. But it was interesting. I might have it around if I was having a party and I knew some like sober people were there that wanted a fancy drink.
I guess my first question would be, do you like Aperol Spritzes?
I do.
Because I'm not a huge fan. I feel like they're a very divisive cocktail.
They are. They're kind of, there's like the bitterness to it and then also kind of a sweetness. I kind of like that combo. Again, I don't have Aperol Spritzes a lot, probably like one a summer. So I'm not like craving it so much that I need a non-alcoholic version of it. But yeah, it was an interesting experience.
Well, for my task of taking the Hogwarts house quiz, I was sorted into Gryffindor, which I feel like is very basic.
Have you read Harry Potter? I didn't even ask you that before I gave you this task.
I read the first four books and then... Okay. As there started to be so much time in between releases, I think I just kind of never picked it up again.
I was a huge fan. The fifth one got kind of like dark. That was like Moody Harry, where he was like yelling at his friends all the time. So I think you left off at a good place. I think Gryffindor is a good house. I think you're a brave person and a righteous person. So it makes sense. And it's not boring.
What are you?
I'm a Slytherin.
We're like opposites on here.
We are. But you know what? We're like... We're bridging the gap. We're bringing different cultures together, Gryffindor and Slytherin.
What are the other two? Hufflepuff and something else?
Ravenclaw.
That's right.
So if any Hufflepuffs and Ravenclaws want to come on and join us, send emails, complete our Hogwarts experience here at Off Bites, please do.
Well, if you want to reach us with comments or story ideas or Harry Potter questions... I'm at Chris C. Blake on X, and our host Mike Rogers is at KRLD Mike Rogers. You can also email us at somethingoffbeat@odyssey.com.
And I'm on X at LaurenBerry91. All right. So for our first story, we have a space mystery. That's one of our favorite things. You know that. The story started about 5 months ago when the Voyager 1 spacecraft's flight data systems telemetry modulation unit, that is a tongue twister, it started sending just a repeating pattern of code that was indecipherable. At the time, it was around 15 billion miles from Earth. It is the furthest object man has ever sent into the cosmos. Now, after months of getting this indecipherable stuff, NASA this month was finally able to get a coherent message out of this nearly 50-year-old spacecraft. So it turns out there was a problem with a single chip that corrupted 3% of the Voyager 1's memory, and it was causing these weird communication errors. They figured out a way to fix this. They sent a command actually called poke, which reminds me of like the old Facebook days when you used to be able to poke people. So basically they did that to the Voyager 1 and it kind of fixed it a little bit. They had to do some other like fancy code work to decode things, move it to a different place and save some of the data that was on this ship. So I just thought this was interesting. I think if I was an astronaut or if I was working at NASA, I'd be pretty creeped out if some like technology we sent into to the outer reaches of space started sending us indecipherable stuff. How about you?
Yeah, like did it get abducted by aliens somewhere out there?
Yeah, or is it a message? Or did they like put things in it?
Yeah. The other thing that just kind of boggles my mind is that something that was built 50 years ago and is in space still works.
Same. I was really surprised at that. I don't know if this is true, but the vibe I'm getting is they're like, this thing still works. Why don't we just like send it as far as we can? See what happens.
Might as well. We're not bringing it back.
Yeah, we can't use it to go jet skiing or anything. So might as well send it into space.
Will they ever send someone out to go get it?
I don't know. Or is it just going to disintegrate into the...
Probably too far away for a human to actually get to.
I don't know if it's programmed to come back. That's something we'll have to look up on another something offbeat or another off bites.
I feel like normally these kind of things are just kind of meant to go up there and then they become space junk.
Yeah, I agree. Unless they have humans on them or something.
Yeah, we're not going to just send a human into space and be like, all right.
You're space junk now.
Have a nice life.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events. Major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories. The unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Our next story is another one of our favorite topics. It has to do with bowel movements. There is a search for a, quote, serial pooper in Dearborn, Michigan, who has been wreaking havoc on a cemetery in the town. The suspect has frequently relieved themselves multiple times at a cemetery, according to the Detroit Free Press. Dearborn police have been called to Northview Cemetery 7 times since late February. So that's what, just a couple of months.
Mm-hmm.
A city spokesperson says the serial pooper doesn't have a specific grave site. Feces have been found in multiple locations throughout the cemetery. This is great writing. The serial defecator wears dark clothes and a hooded sweatshirt and leaves a big mess, this is in quotes, including used toilet paper. The suspect apparently always strikes under the cover of darkness.
I said, as you should, probably. Yes. Yeah.
Police have run DNA tests, but have not been able to identify anybody. This is an offbeat story. I don't even know if I know what to say about it, except it's gross.
It's very gross. The thing I was thinking about the most, and you mentioned this because we both write news, like this is a funny story to get assigned and to like come up with all the different, they found every different word for poop that they could in this article. So I commend the writing.
You have to, right?
Yeah, I know when I was like a local beat reporter, I had to write a story about dog poop. There was a park that wasn't a dog park, but people love to bring their pets there. And I don't think I did as good of a job as this writer did with finding the different words for poop. So, other than that, it's gross. I wonder if it's someone who's living there.
That's kind of what I was thinking. But if it's only 7 times in 2 months, have they checked other places in Dearborn?
Yeah. Ooh, just like randomly on the sidewalk, just a random duty. Sidewalk duty. Mean,
my mind goes to, you know, maybe this is someone who's living on the streets and just trying to find a place at night to use the restroom. But you would think it would be more frequent, or maybe there's other spots that the person has used.
Also, like if it's at the grave sites, that seems a little bit pointed. Like maybe they have some beef with these people.
We'll have to try to find out if it's all one family, or all people who knew each other.
Yeah, some old score he wants to settle, like couldn't do it when they were living, but he, I don't know why I'm saying he, maybe it's a woman. I don't know who's doing it. It seems like dude behavior, but I could be wrong.
It does.
I think it's also funny, like they bring toilet paper. So
it's planned.
Yeah, premeditated pooping. So I don't know about you, Chris, but when I was a kid, I was a big fan of Steve Irwin, the crocodile hunter. And it seems like there's a Florida man who's kind of attempting his own version of Irwin's signature moves wrestling crocodiles, but with alligators. There was a video recently of this shoeless man taking on an 8-foot alligator that was wandering the streets of Jacksonville, Florida. The video's gone viral, and you can see it on the Odyssey website in the article that we got this from. It's at WWL, one of our Odyssey stations in New Orleans, /news/national/shoeless Florida man wrestles 8-foot alligator. His name is Mike Dragich, and he's a licensed Florida alligator trapper. So Dragich shared with News 4 Jax that he got a call about the alligator causing issues when he was at a hockey game with his family, actually. The sheriff's office called for a trapper, and he jumped in his car and arrived where the gator was. It was near a shopping plaza, actually. And he didn't have any equipment with him, but he is a veteran and an MMA artist. So he decided to just get his hands dirty, get in there and wrangle this alligator while barehanded and shoeless. You know, it looks pretty cool, but experts warned that people should not try to do this if they're not experienced like Dragich is with alligators and MMA and stuff. It's very, very dangerous to wrestle an alligator, especially in April right now, which is the start of alligator mating season. So they're a little bit friskier than they usually are. Those who encounter gators should just call their local authorities. And I guess that Dragich has actually gained internet notoriety for alligator wrestling before. And he has a nonprofit as well for veterans. So you could check that out on the website. I think it's pretty cool as a Steve Irwin fan. How about you? What are your thoughts on alligator wrestling?
I think we need somebody to be able to do it. So I'm glad that he was available, because looking at this video, there's a pretty big crowd of people around, including some kids. So glad he was able to get there and help, because the cops didn't exactly look like they had the situation under control. But it is very Florida, all the way from the headline to what he is wearing, short shorts and like a cut off button down. Also, the dude is freaking jacked. So that probably helps subdue the alligator as well.
It's definitely not something that I would try to do in my free time. There are luckily not that many alligators here in Chicago. Sometimes you'll see a huge turtle, but they don't usually need to be wrestled.
You can just walk away from them.
Yeah, you say some stuff to them. You say hi. They just kind of float around.
Our final story this week comes from London, where 5 military horses bolted during routine exercises near King Charles III's main residence on Wednesday, and ran loose through the center of the city, injuring at least 4 and colliding with vehicles during morning rush hour, according to the AP. This seems like it always happens in the city during rush hour. We did an episode, over a year ago at this point, where there were decorative orbs or balls somewhere in the city that got loose and were just rolling through the city streets and sending people to get out of the way. But in this case, chaos erupted when the horses, which were conducting exercise to practice for a major military parade, became alarmed by construction noise from a nearby building. 5 of 7 horses ran off from where the exercise was taking place in a swanky neighborhood just west of Buckingham Palace. 4 soldiers were thrown off, 3 of them were taken to the hospital with injuries, and then the riderless horses just took off. They ran into vehicles, stunned commuters who were heading to work. So I know this is a dangerous story, but it's also kind of funny to me.
Same.
Horses just get loose in a major city and just, you know, going for a little jog. Not great that they were scared by construction noise, but also maybe be aware of what noises are going to be around when you have the horses out for training.
Yeah, I I judge the horse handlers kind of heavily for this one. I feel bad. Like the horses, like some people said they got bloody and like had head injuries and stuff, which makes me feel really sad. But, you know, there are city horses that are used to sounds like that. Like there are, and you lived in New York and in Chicago, we have them, like the hansom cab horses and the carriage horses and stuff. So I'm wondering like how loud that was, or if it was like more like, if it was because the construction was like rumbling the ground, like why did they get so freaked out, or were they new horses, or were they more country horses or something? It just seems like kind of a strange thing. But yeah, if I saw this happening, it would make me kind of excited to see horses like running through the city. It seems like something out of a movie or something.
Like Jumanji.
Yes, I love Jumanji. Did you see that SNL thing about Jumanji recently?
Yes, it was really good.
Yeah, that's been my, that was like my favorite skit in a while.
We used to watch that movie a lot growing up.
Me too. It was one of my favorites. Robin Williams for the win. It made me afraid of flowers though.
Why flowers and not some of the animals?
Because like the flower that like shot the dart into Kirsten Dunst.
Oh yeah.
I think it was Kirsten Dunst. Like that was the worst one for me. That was the scariest one.
So every time you saw a flower, you just like dove out of the way after that?
I went on vacation with my family to Hawaii shortly after seeing Jumanji, and they have like beautiful tropical flowers there that look like the flowers from Jumanji. And I was honestly pretty scared of that. Pretty scared of the flowers.
You made it back though.
I did. I made it through.
Thanks for listening to another Off Bites episode.
Thanks, everyone, for listening to this episode of Off Bites. Stay tuned in the coming weeks for more episodes of Something Offbeat with our host, Mike Rogers.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events and the lesser-told stories, ones you might not even know happened. Find History This Week on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.